Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us again for another great Brilliant Ideas radio show this morning on Saturday morning, as we come to you each and every Saturday. And we welcome you to another fun-packed, exciting foodie show, at least I hope it is. And today, as you notice, we have a pretty full show going on here. And talking about variety, oh, my God, we got everything from decorative art, ceramics by, look at my notes here, I'm losing my place already, Romeo Cuomo, and we have Terry Afonso coming on to talk about their product from Italy, and then we have John Dilly from Defcon Sauces, and we have Scott Buchanan, he's a country music singer, so it's going to be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am type of show. We're going to be going from one guest to the other, and then, of course, we can't forget our regulars, Laurie, the Food News Jersey Stug girl. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning.
And then, of course, we have the wine czar, Mr. Brian Fairchild himself. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Brian. Laurie, you there?
I'm here.
I don't hear Brian. Hey, Brian. Yo, Brian. See, look at that. We're going to give him time on the show today, and he's being very quiet. Hello, Brian.
He's very quiet.
Oh, my God. Maybe he's got a problem with his phone. Hey, Brian, unmute your phone so you can talk to the people on the radio. Anyway, he's supposed to be coming on and talking about Austrian wine. Let me push the button here, and maybe I can get him back. Let me try this again. And there he is. Where the heck were you?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Drinking too much wine,
I must still be in Austria. But, hey, I really appreciate the roar of the crowd. But, you know, it was kind of loud. It woke me up. Because, you know, I'm a little tired. And let me tell you, the hills are alive in Austria, but the wines are, maybe... Maybe
it
not.
It looks like you had a good time while you were in Austria. We missed you last week, but you were on assignment out there looking at Austrian wine and doing whatever you were doing, running up and down the hills. And hold on, before we go to your report, because I want to hear all about Austrian wine, I think this, you know, I've been thinking about this. How can we have an intro for you? Because you need an appropriate intro since you're in Austria. So I thought this would be a great intro for the wine czar this morning.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, 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 loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, lay, lay. Folks folks in a town that was quite remote. Her lay, 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 ooh, ooh, lusty and clear from the goat head throat. Her lay, lay, lay,
oh, okay, enough of that. But I think that was done in Austria, wasn't it?
I love that. And you know what? I felt like a mountain goat climbing up through some of those vineyards.
So tell us about your trip. And I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to try to be very quiet and be serious for a change. And I want to hear all about Austrian wine.
All right. Do you want to ask me specifics, or do you just want to give me a simple synopsis?
Well, a simple synopsis is probably impossible for you to do, but a simple synopsis for us would be pretty good for a radio show.
Well, okay. Let me preface by saying that the company I work for sent me to Austria because we just acquired a big Austrian portfolio, a portfolio that I would say basically put Austria on the map in the United States. And so it's really prestigious for us to have this portfolio, and I got a early opportunity to go out and meet our new producers that we'll be, you know, working with and selling, and get to absorb the culture and, you know, learn a little bit more about the, you know, the vineyards and what they do, and of course taste the wines, and certainly get to understand the new vintage that they're extremely proud of. Now, I will tell everybody that if you've never gone to a winery, and I know you and Laurie have gone, you know, done some wine tastings in the past, if you've never gone to a winery and spoken to a winemaker and experienced the real passion that they have for their craft, and I would really say art, not just craft, you don't understand what it means to make wine. You're only on the other end drinking it. I saw some of the most incredible passion that I've ever seen in all of my years of visiting wineries from these Austrian producers. And it's the kind of thing that even though I'm there to taste the wine and to understand how great the vintage is, I'm bringing back that passion that they have so that I can, you know, convey that to the people I'm selling wine to.
So they have to make a love to the vineyards. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, they make love to their vineyards. Exactly. I knew I couldn't keep you straight for long.
I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm biting my tongue. There's been so many moments during your little synopsis there that I wanted to jump in. So, okay, I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
But anyway, Austrian wine, what can we say about Austrian wine? I would say that it's definitely not yours and Laurie's style. These are not wines that are very, you know, fruit-forward, fruit bomb style wines. Wines that are definitely built for their food. But really very kind of juicy wines, and certainly grapes that you won't recognize. The greatest white grape is called Grüner Veltliner, and the two prime or three prime red grapes are Blaufränkisch, Zweigelt, and Saint Laurent. And Saint Laurent is also known as Limburger, which actually you'll see growing in the Finger Lakes area, but they also make phenomenal Pinot Noir, but much more in a Burgundian style than that kind of real fruit-forward Napa, you know, Pinot Noir style. You know, when you look at the map, Austria, the Finger Lakes, Burgundy, Argonne, they're all kind of in that same, is it longitude or latitude? I never know the difference between the two. I'm usually upside down under a table. Anyway,
I would say you're usually horizontal, so.
Yeah. But they're all on the same plane. So they all basically have the same, similar, I guess, climate, supposed to be. Well, I mean, today we don't know what climate is anymore. Today, tomorrow it could be, 80 degrees, and today it could be 50. So know, it's crazy. But you know, basically the areas and the way the land is developed is so similar in all those areas, and those are probably the best areas for Pinot Noir. You know, when you look at that area. So some very big wines, very European style reds, very juicy, very powerful, but not that kind of fruit forward style that I know you like. Now Zweigelt's interesting though, because Zweigelt is a little bit like kind of a light style Zinfandel. It's got a little bit of that spice, but it doesn't have the big powerful fruit up front. And Blaufränkisch is a little bit more like a Cabernet in a way. Sure, yeah.
Actually, two questions. Is Austrian wine sold that much in the U.S.?
Well, we're hoping that with the association with the company I work for, that it's going to be sold even more. But like I said, the man who put this portfolio together, who I was basically traveling with in Austria for the 4 days that I was there, you know, he's been basically single-handedly putting, you know, this wine into our market. And I think the wines are phenomenal. If you like sparkling wines, the Austrians and the Germans call their sparkling wines Sekt, S-E-K-T. And when you look at it, the first thing you want to say is sex, and yeah. It's incredibly sexy wine. And I tasted way more sex than I wanted to.
Well, that's my next question. That's my next question. Anybody who follows you on Facebook have seen all the empty bottles that you supposedly, quote-unquote, tasted. How many were in your group?
We had a fairly large group. There were like 23 people in the group.
Oh, well, that's not so much wine for 23 people. I thought maybe there was like three of you.
No. You don't understand. The random photos that I dropped on Facebook show nothing compared to what we drank. You know, some of the producers, we were tasting over 30 wines, you know, in an afternoon. And
wow.
The days were structured where we were out and, you know, and on the road at 8 o'clock in the morning and getting to our first producer at 9 o'clock in the morning.
So you were drinking wine at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Is that hard to do?
Huh?
Was that hard to do? You know, because I mean, me and everybody knows me and Grilly, we love our wine, but I want my coffee in the morning, and I could tell when it's wine time around 4 o'clock, 4:30, but 9. Was it tough to kind of start drinking and tasting wines at that early in the morning? Did you have a breakfast before?
You know what? I was with wine professionals. You know, we're all wine professionals, and whether you're in retail or restaurant or you're in wholesale like I am. You're either being visited by a vendor or you're visiting a client. And, you know, I usually start my days at, you know, I have early morning appointments with, you know, with a number of clients. And we're just conditioned to do it. Now, it's not like we were drinking a lot of heavy wine at 9 o'clock in the morning, but you know, it was so invigorating to get to a winery and then cook.
You sound like a prize fighter. It's like a prize fighter. We were conditioned for it.
Well, but we are.
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
We really are conditioned for it, and you know, there were the times when we were allowed to spit, and there were the times when we weren't allowed to spit during meals when a producer was just pouring wine freely. You don't insult a producer by spitting the wine out, but during the time when we were working and actually tasting and evaluating wine, we were all spitting the wine out, and that's how you're able to pace yourself. I mean, I certainly couldn't possibly drink all of that wine in a day. I mean, we're talking about, you know, at least 50 wines a day. You couldn't do that. Now, yesterday
so guys,
I was at a staff meeting
gonna,
and we did 50 wines in the morning.
I'm going to cut you short, as usual. So
So if you guys are you going to actually represent this Austrian, these Austrian vineyards, and is that coming to America?
We are, they're already, basically they're already in America. I was asked to evaluate some new product that we're considering. But these wines, you know, Austrian wine is here. It's here, but people don't know about it, and they need to know about it because they're just fantastic wines, and I hope that I have a chance to, you know, share some Austrian wine with the two of you at some point because it's, you know, Austrian wine was a passion of mine before I even got involved, and you know, we had an opportunity to have this portfolio in front of us. I've always loved Austrian wines.
How would the restaurants, would you find a demand for the restaurants to want these types of wines?
I would say that restaurants that are serious about their food and serious about them wanting the wine to be in the background to enhance would certainly be embracing wines like this because they're built for food. They're built to complement. They're built to pair with food.
Okay.
Your sipping wines are your New World style wines, like the kind of wines that you like, you know, California, the Australian Shirazes, that kind of stuff. I would put that as, yeah, that's your wine time. That's your, you know, 5 o'clock,
yep.
Have a glass of wine, sip, easy
fish,
to
yep.
drink. But mm-hmm. the Austrians are definitely, you know, they're built for food, just like Italian wines are and French wines
yes.
are and Spanish okay. wines are.
All right.
It's food
I'm
first.
Bored. I'm bored now.
I knew you'd be bored.
How does he get bored? He
no,
gets
was,
bored so easily.
Nice.
You're an Aries.
I was
He'll
like,
always
okay.
be changing.
I was like, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Okay, Austrian wine, go get some. Now, speaking of Austria, the reason I'm cutting you off, Brian, because you have to hear this. Laurie found this story. That actually, the study was done in Austria, so I thought it was
yep,
appropriate.
It was
just a segue, so I can cut you off and go to a different story. Laurie,
no.
Tell everybody about the study that happened in Austria while our man was over in Austria.
It's funny, Brian. It really is true. I found this story about vegetarians, and the study was done from Austria, and I'm like, oh, I said, I'll have to read this, you know, right after Brian gets to talk about his story. But, Brian, great job. It's interesting. I can't wait to taste the wines with you from Austria and, you know, whatever else. It'll be fun. So one of these days.
I think mm-hmm. I heard his feelings, Laurie.
No, you didn't. He knows you.
You
know
what?
He knows me.
I've developed such a hard shell from being friends with you that you couldn't possibly hurt my feelings.
Exactly. Yep. He's right.
The bus couldn't be big enough for me to have to climb under. Or climb out from under.
All right, Laura. Tell the story.
Can I ask a real quick question before I go?
Oh, would you get away from it?
All right, I'll ask you personally when we talk.
I gotta go make a hoop house for my wife. And if you don't know what it is, ask Sunbless. She'll tell you what a hoop house is. But tell me the story so I can go.
Okay, real quick. Vegetarian diets are tied to generally poor health, poor quality of life, and a higher need for health care than their meat eating counterparts. And a new study from Austria finds that the vegetarians are more physically active, drink less alcohol, and smoke less tobacco than those who consume meat in their diets. But vegetarians also have a lower body mass index, and the vegetarian diet, characterized by a low consumption of saturated fats and cholesterol, that includes increased intake of their fruits, vegetables, and whole grain products, elevates the risk of cancer, allergies, and mental health disorders.
Amazing.
That's interesting
Amazing.
That was done in Austria, considering the
I
fact
know.
That every meal was so meat-heavy, including breakfast, where we had this enormous spread of cured meats, like, you know, well, they would have speck instead of prosciutto,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these kind of cured meats and salamis and stuff, and, you know, meat and potatoes everywhere. So I'm surprised that they did a vegetarian study in Austria.
That is interesting.
It's amazing to me that everybody says people that are vegetarians are more healthy and yada, yada, yada. In this study, it was quite a few people, too, wasn't it? It was not like just a fly-by-night
test. It was
a long period of time.
I'll just say one last thing before I go. I think that my own shut up. I think that my body is actually more suited and more acclimated to the European diet, the European water and everything else, because I felt so good during the whole trip, and it wasn't because I was inebriated. You know, there were times when we actually were sober, maybe for about 5.5 minutes in the middle of the night. But I felt so good. I felt so stress-free. You know, it was a fast and furious trip, but I was so relaxed the whole time.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The photo of you, I don't know if you had it photoshopped or what, but you actually looked
That was cropped off of my phone, so, from a bigger photo.
Okay.
That's unbelievable. Oh, well. No, Brian, you really, I even said to, you know, realize that, my God, I said, Brian looks really, really good. I mean, you're tan, the background was gorgeous, the sunglasses, you just looked like, you had, you know, no care in the world.
Like I said, between Sean Connery and Mr. Bean, he looked very European. And on that note, we're going to take a break and say goodbye to Brian. Brian, thank you for your Austrian story about wine. And we'll be right back here in just a few minutes and bring on our first guest. Everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
There's a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple too. And up in the nursery an absurd little bird is popping up to say cuckoo,
cuckoo, cuckoo.
Regretfully cuckoo. They tell us, but firmly cuckoo. They compel us to say goodbye
cuckoo.
To you.
Yes, and goodbye to the wine czar from Austria, and hello back everyone here on Great Ideas Radio. I thought that was appropriate. It just fits with
the Austrian story and the sound of music and et cetera, et cetera. And I probably got more kick out of that than anybody else in the world. But anyway, we are bringing on our first guest, and her name is Terry Affinato. And for those who have seen us on Facebook and saw some of those pictures that we were posting on Facebook about this product they have, a ceramics that it's Italy, Italian decorators, decorative, I can't speak, I'm sorry. I was eating a, by the way, I was eating a Reese's peanut butter cup. Yeah, and I wasn't finished eating it before the song ended. Anyway, Terry Affinato, the Italian decorative art by Romeo Cuomo, and if everything's working right, we should have Terry on the line here with us. Good morning, Terry.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, thank you very much. And I have to say, I was looking at your website and looking at the art and the ceramics, and it's amazing. And Laurie and I were looking at it this morning, and what beautiful, beautiful products with the plates and the ceramics. And it's amazing. And I wanted to have you on because Sunblessed Carol, the lady who lines up a lot of the guests on our show, was the one who brought us to your brought you to our attention, and just beautiful, beautiful product that comes from Italy. So, can you tell us a little bit about the company and who you represent?
Absolutely, I am the partner with Romeo Cuomo, and Romeo. Well, we say Romeo, you say Romeo here in the States. He's an artisan. Excuse me, that is a third generation ceramic artist. It runs in his family, as his father and his grandfather did before him. And it's a beautiful collection of artisans in the Vitry area of Italy that create all these beautiful pieces. And we have about 10 artisans that work with us. And what makes us different than the other ceramic companies that you'll find, like when you go to southern Italy, you will see ceramics everywhere. You know, it's the mainstay for the area. What sets us apart is that we're not a large company. Everything that we make is made individually for the customer. So when you call and say, you know, I would like this decorative plate, we say, give us 30 days because we need to make this for you. We don't pull inventory off of a shelf. And
so everything is custom. Everything is custom. So in other words, everything we're seeing on your page and things are things that you've made specifically for certain customers.
Yes, everything is made to order, and
wow,
that gives us the flexibility to work with the customer. If there is a certain color palette that they want, let's say they see something on the website and they want it in a different color tone, we can do that. Also, like with our dinnerware, we have many different types of tableware. We can add your monogram to the center of the plate, which is great for, we do that for restaurants as well as for small cafes and coffee shops. Same with our biscotti jars. We'll put your name on it. We don't charge additional for that. It's just a service that we do. So, you know, that's a nice feature. And all of our decorative plates that we do, we will inscribe on the back of the plate, you know, made especially for you, or if you're giving it as a gift, you know, we'll put in Italian or in English, you know, happy birthday, happy anniversary. So we have that extra attention that we can give our customers.
It's really interesting product, and the different colors and things just pops when you look at it on the website. And by the way, mentioning the website, I've got a link here on the show that people can click and go to your website. It's www.romeocuomoceramics.com, and you can find out more about the product and see examples. And I think, Laurie, you had a few questions that you wanted to ask Terry.
I did, actually. Yes. The pieces are exquisite, and the colors are just beautiful, and I think that they would make great wedding gifts. When I was looking at them, I was curious to see, like, some, you know, some of the time frame, you know, that like the turnaround, if you do, like you said, 30 days, like if someone wanted to have a beautiful platter made with their monogram in the middle or something, is it average like 30 days or just depends on
usually,
how
yes, Lori. We do a lot of wedding presents. We do a lot of wedding favors, too, with the smaller pieces that we do. But what we suggest is always give like a 30-day lead, especially during, you know, if it's a busy season. But again, with 10 artisans, we always, you know, we always produce on time, you know, so that if you want to give a nice plate for a wedding present, what people do too is that they will start somebody, let's say with dinnerware, and they'll order like service for four. And then mm-hmm. that person, you know, the recipient can build on that and get the matching pieces, you know, the water pitchers and the platters and the serving bowls and whatever over time, or give it again as anniversary presents.
Mm.
So, and what's nice is also is that with me here in the States, you know, here in the Boston area, and with Romeo, you know, in Amalfi, there's always someone to answer your question. And his English is very good, by the way. He says no, but it is. He speaks very good English, which I would have liked to have had him do this interview this morning. I think that would have been nice for you.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Now, I have a question.
No, you're doing
let's assume
oh,
that
thank you.
I wanted a brilliant platter, great idea
yes.
platter, and I wanted a matching mug or beer steins or something. How does the process work? I mean, okay, I'm not an artist. I don't know
mm-hmm.
anything about drawing, and I might be able to tell you what kind of color. What do you do? Then do you turn it over to him, and he just sort of comes up with a design based on what the customer is looking for?
Well, we can work from previous products. Like if you see something on the website, and let's say it's something with like the Amalfi Lemon, then you'll say, oh, you know, I love this. But I don't want the background blue because my kitchen is in jewel tones and I want maroon. Not a problem.
Right.
We can do that. Or if you would like something specifically with a design with your monogram on it, or if you have a family crest, we also do family crests as well in ceramic, single tile pieces. They're gorgeous. We can
wow.
do that as well. So if you want to build a dinner set or a bar set, like you said, with beer mugs, if you give us an idea of the color, what we'll do is we'll come back to you with drawings, and
okay.
we can do that. Or, again, if you work off of the website and say, gee, I love this, I want this, but in a different color, we can do that.
Very
but we also do canvas art, too. We just delivered a large 40x45 beautiful custom oil painting of Venice, the Grand Canal in Venice. Matter of fact, I hand delivered it down to Virginia to our customer, and it was amazing. It was a beautiful piece. He wanted something to remember his trip to Venice. He wasn't sure what. We did some drawings. He approved, and we went forth with that. That was a 3-month process, though.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I've also noticed, even on your website, the prices seem very reasonable for what you're offering.
I was going to say that. They really do.
Yes, thank you. We try to keep our prices reasonable for the fact that you're buying direct, you know, right from the artisan. There's no middleman. And, you know, you're also paying, you know, shipping to the States is not inexpensive, I will say that. That's something that we are working on. But for the shipping, it is what it is. We really have no control over that at this time. But our prices, you know, we're a family-owned business because we're all small families, you know, that
right.
are involved in this. So, you know, we're making a living, we're making a profit, but we're still able to share all of our beautiful pieces, you know, at a good price.
Now, do you have any,
and
like,
we do
retail?
Sell all over the world.
Do you have any, like, retail uh-huh. customers that have certain designs that you design for larger retail operations, or is it strictly more of just, you know, private citizen-type sales?
We do both. We do retail sales as well as wholesale sales. We have resellers or retailers that buy from us, and their pieces are exclusive to them. So we will produce product if they're a web-based business or if they're a brick-and-mortar store with a web-based business. These products can only be purchased through them. We don't promote them on our website. It belongs to our customer.
Hmm.
So we have running orders continuously with certain retailers for a variety of pieces.
See, Laura, you know, my mind's over here thinking, you know, I'm asking this question because you can see me over here just thinking, a whole line of Grayan Ideas products.
I know, I can see it. Well, I was going to ask her if you can request, like, one of the artists. Like, I saw Sabino
Mm-hmm.
And I
he's one of our younger artisans.
I'd like to have Sabino maybe make me something. He's a young, cute boy. And more talent from him.
He is very talented. He is learning from the best, you know, Romeo and our other artisans. Mario is fantastic. Francesco. You can see a lot of the profiles, too, of our artisans on the website under the tab Meet Our Artisans. I started doing this a while ago, and a lot of them are like, no, Terry, I just work. It's like, you know, we would like to know more. You know, they want to know the backstory.
Well, they are. I think it's a great idea, great marketing tool for that, because you're right. I when I saw that, you know, Meet the Artisans, and I thought, okay, and I was, you know, I saw you're right, I saw Mario, I saw Sabino was first, and he had a lot about himself, and he's also into the arts, you know, and dance, and got a lot of talent for a young guy.
You know, he is really, as Romeo says, it's living the life. When he refers to someone that is doing what they love and with a passion, he's living the life. So, you know, that's what we say, you know, love what you do and do what you love. And I love what I do. I've been doing this now for a few years with Romeo. We've been friends for a long time. And I just, every day I get up and I can't wait to see, you know, what is going to happen and what orders are going to come in. And I'm usually there like 3 times a year. I'll be leaving again at the end of May. And I love just being with our artisans, watching them work and taking pictures and, you know, watching Romeo work on new designs and the whole creative process.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us today. And people, if you want to find out more, it's really, really nice products. And
it's beautiful. It's exquisite.
It is beautiful. It's go to the website, which is www.romeoglomoceramics.com. And Terry Affanato, I keep saying your name wrong. Affanato is the U.S. sales manager. And check it out because it's a great product. And we really appreciate you joining us this morning and telling us a little bit about the ceramics and the art. And you can always come back. And if you got anything new you want to tell our listeners, you're always welcome to come back.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well,
thank you.
All right, everybody, check out their website, and I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to be switching gears here. We're going from Italian ceramics to hot sauces, wing sauces, DEF CON sauces. Everyone, hang tight. And I thought since we were just talking about Italian ceramics, I'd play a little Italian love song that everyone will remember, and we'll be back here to talk some hot sauce in just a few minutes.
Oh, this is the night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it a bella notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes, on this lovely bella notte. Side by side, with your loved one, you'll find an enchantment to hear. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. For this is the night when the heavens are right on this lovely bed.
The night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it bella notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes, on this lovely bella notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find enchantment here. The night will weave its magic.
magic spell when the one you love is near. For this is the night and the heavens are right on this lovely bell on the tape.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
Yep, and like the man says, GreenIdeasRadio.com is on its way. If you guys have been paying attention, we've actually started with some of our special guest chefs who are going to be part of the GreenIdeasRadio.com family. The last couple of weeks, we've had Chef Christo Gonzalez, and he's had a few shows, and, of course, Chef Brett McKee. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be bringing on new guest chefs. Well, actually, they're not going to be guest chefs. They're going to be actually hosts of their own shows. And coming up soon, we have Linky Maris is going to be joining us, and we've got George Geary, and we've got Jeremiah Tosco, and a few others. And so we're looking forward to one of these days we're going to start this thing, but look, it's looking good so far. And Laurie, we're going from one extreme to the other. We're going from romantic Italian ceramics to hot sauce from DEF CON sauces. We have John Dilley, the president of DEF CON sauces, joining us. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I had you last
time. I'm doing well.
I saw you come on about the time we started playing the Lady and the Tramp Italian love song, and I thought he was probably thinking, what the heck am I going to go on this show?
I was like, man, that's one hell of a lead-in. I just...
Well, welcome to the show. You are the hot sauce man in DEF CON's office. Matter of fact, just recently won another award at the New York City Hot Sauce Show. You guys won, like, first place in the wing sauce, so... Wanted to have you on because everyone knows about DEF CON sauces, and especially everyone knows your photograph of your picture of the DEF CON and on your website. But welcome to the show. We want to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit about you, your company, and how you got into hot sauces?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, a lot of people have heard the story. It's kind of a quick one. You know, we had Super Bowl parties for years when I was living in my parents' house. And, you know, I decided, hey, you know, I can make this wing stuff. Let me give it a shot. Well, yeah, we have a whole bunch of people over for the Super Bowl. And, you know, they started out, it tasted like sweaty roadkill. It was horrible. And so, but I tweaking here, tweaking there. And, yeah, I came up with something pretty good. And then, you know, friends and family started, hey, John, could you whip me up a batch of that stuff and having a party? Hey, not a problem. Well, over a couple of beers with a buddy of mine, he goes, hey, why don't you start up a company? People love this stuff. I'm a finance guy. What the hell do I know about the food industry? I'm like, oh, my God. But he put the bug in my head, and I took the idea home to the boss, and, hey, honey, I got an idea. She goes, how much is it going to cost? I don't really have a clue. And so we threw a whole bunch of money at getting all the legality stuff out of the way, and we have never looked back. We kind of hit the hot sauce industry with a very loud explosion. And a lot of people thought we were just going to be a flash in the pan. Well, we kind of proved them wrong.
Thank you.
And you've been doing this, what, since 2005, and you've won, like, I guess this latest award was, like, your 64th major international award?
We are up, yep, number 64, and the actually the one we got at the New York Hot Sauce Expo thing, that was one heck of a show. And a big shout-out to the guy, Steve Seabury, that put it all together. The guy's just amazing. And the Scream and Mimi Awards kind of jumped on the scene last year, and they all of a sudden hit the industry again with a very loud explosion. And you figure this is probably one of the biggest awards we've won when you look at the panel of judges they had judging all the different sauces and stuff. And yeah, you had guys from Bon Appetit magazine, you had from Food Network, you had all the high ranking chef guys, stuff like that, doing the judging. And to win an award like that with that caliber of judges was just awesome. So I mean, my voice has finally gotten back. It took me about a week to get my voice back because I was yelling and screaming the entire weekend. But hey, that's life.
Well, congratulations, everybody who's listening. I've got a link here to John's website, which is defconsauces.com, and you can find out more about all their different sauces and what they have available. And actually, tell the listeners, what are some of your best-selling flavors and things that you've got on the website that they can find?
Oh, sure, yeah. Our mainstay is the wing sauce. We've got four of them. We've got a mild defense condition 3, medium defense condition 2, hot defense condition 1, and the newest member of the family is the Cluck Wing Orange, named after my favorite movie. And it's not to blow your face off hot, you know, but it'll definitely let you know it's there. We actually unveiled a new product at the show as well. We came out with a new dry rub called the Contaminated Soil, the fine Jersey product. And it really went really well at the show, and we're going to be putting that into production probably in about a week or two. And we've got a couple of bottles left. It'll be probably available on the website. My wife is working on it as we speak, so if you want to pick some of that stuff up. But we also have another one that really has taken off for us is the Habanero Horseradish. A lot of people like the horseradish, but they can't really find a hot enough one. Well, we found a perfect blend of habaneros. We got a mild and a hot. And the stuff's going like gangbusters because I don't really use ketchup or mustard. Anything you put ketchup or mustard on, I put horseradish on. So it's good for you.
I like horseradish, too. Now, John, where are you from? Are you out of
New Jersey? You're based out of Millburn, New Jersey.
Which town?
Millburn.
Oh, okay. I'm from Cranford.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, actually, we live in New Providence. I mean, right up the road.
Okay. Oh, wow.
How many people were at this New York show? How many folks actually showed up? Was it pretty big out?
I don't have an exact ticket count, but literally thousands. I mean, it was the first annual, this last year was an outdoor show on the waterfront on Kent Ave in Brooklyn. And, there must have been a 3 or 4 block line of people waiting to get into the show. It was incredible for a first-year show. And so I think a lot, most if not all of those people brought their friends. And it was an absolute madhouse. I mean, it was just slinging hot sauce and talking to people and taking their cash. It was a beautiful weekend.
And the taking the cash part was probably the good part, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, do you sell in the stores, like in different, like in the Kings and ShopRite, do you sell in all the different retail stores, or more or less it's just on your website?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd say about 80% of our stuff is online. We do not deal with the large chain stores. If I want to talk to a person, I want to talk to the owner of the company. I don't want to talk to somebody's deputy's secretary's deputy. I want to talk to the person who's going to be buying my stuff. And so we really focus on the small mom and pops, the gourmet stores like that. We actually physically pulled out of Whole Foods. We just couldn't stand the way they were doing business. And so we just gave up on the big stores. I mean, hey, you know, down the road, maybe it'll happen. But as it stands right now, we stick to more of the brick-and-mortar kind of mom-and-pop operations.
Exactly. That's nice.
Well, I have to ask the obvious question, which I guess is pretty obvious, but why DEFCON?
Why not? Actually, I was I'm an Army brat, and I lived on an Army post for my formative years. And DEFCON is, I don't know if everybody out there knows what it means. It's a defense condition, basically a state of readiness for the military. It goes from DEFCON 5, which is peacetime, to DEFCON 1, which is basically nuke 'em. And the name kind of stuck. And you look at the logo, the original logo. It's a biohazard symbol. And so we had to submit it for a food product. Well, the FDA didn't like that too much. So you can't put a biohazard on a food product. So I was like, oh man, you got to be kidding me. I really want that. Well, my wife and her ultimate wisdom just carved out the middle and put a red D in it, and we changed it more than 20%, and here we are. And so, I mean, it really stands out. We have the whole truck wrapped, the trailer wrapped. It's really interesting. We're going into, like, the Holland Tunnel with a whole bunch of biohazards all over the car. We get really, really a lot of looks.
I bet you do. So tell me, what's the hottest of your sauces? I
Scoville level?
Yeah, the Scoville scale. You know, the Scoville scale, that's it's good. It sounds good, but I'll tell you, the Scoville scale, what's hot to one person may not be hot to another. So it's kind of subjective. If somebody asks me how many Scovilles are in it, I'd say a lot. I mean, it's hot. I can taste the difference between 3.14 and 3.16 million. No, you can't. But the hottest one we make is the DEFCON Zero. It's a very limited release. It takes about 8 months to make. As far as I know, it's about the only all natural extract on the market. And we take about 10-15 pounds of peppers and reduce it down to 0.87 ounces of habaneros.
Wow.
We have a whole lab set up. I think our neighbors must think we got a meth lab or something like that because we're running around Tyvek suits and everything else. It's just pretty funny.
Yeah, you're in a nice area, so that, you can fly.
Yeah. Here you go.
I think
we fit more into Camden, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
All kidding aside, though, when you're dealing with the hot habaneros and those things, I was involved in making some habanero burgers at one time, and when you start cooking that stuff up and all, you've got to wear just basically almost like a hazmat type of outfit because the fumes can knock you out if you don't.
Oh yeah, no, you will mace the house. The Zero, it's funny, over the years people have gotten really creative with it. Let's say you go to a party, people you really don't like very much, you put a drop of the habanero, the Zero stuff, at the base of the wick of each candle that's already been used. Next time they light them, they're going to mace the first floor of their house and not know where the hell it's coming from.
So what's your future plans for DEFCON sausage? You got any new things in the work? You said you have the
pretty much global domination. I mean, it's a small step, but hey, you got to shoot for the moon. We're growing. We're always growing, and we pretty much don't advertise anywhere. We go by sheer word of mouth, and it's worked out very, very well for us. I mean, we were the official wing sauce in the Jersey Devils hockey team for a couple of years at the Prudential Center when it first opened up, and we've been around the block. With advertising, it's kind of like you buy high and sell low. You really gotta think about what you're spending your money on because advertising can ruin you. Yeah, I mean, it can really ruin you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I really appreciate you joining us this morning and talking about DEFCON sausage. What a great guest, and congratulations.
Yeah, you
on
really
the
are.
Awards, and I'm looking forward to trying out your product. Actually, I saw you online. You and I communicated back and forth, and I have not tried out the product yet. And I'm actually a baby when it comes to hot sauce, and Laurie can tell you. I mean, Texas Pete is about as hot as I can go, but I'm looking forward to maybe trying out.
Well, yeah, try some of the hot stuff, and you'll put a stem on that apple, you know?
Well, thank you, John, for joining us. Everyone, check out his website, www.defconsauces.com. There's a link right here. I can just click and go and go buy some of his sauces. And this song that I'm going to play, John, kind of fits you. It's by Moonshine Bandits. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but the song's called Outlaws. And I think you're like an outlaw in the hot sauce business. So thank you.
Yeah, I kind of like it that way.
Take care. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Take care. You were great.
Hey. Hey, not a problem if you want to have a back.
Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Kelly to do my thing. Woo! Rolling down the 15 full speed, splitting these lanes. I got the common vote thinking that I'm going insane. True outlaw, think I'm lying, just Google the name. Since 2006, me and Dirt Ball were rocking this outlaw shit, and they can't stand it. 2011, now I'm back with the Moonshine Bandit. It's that country
the jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm over 1% patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw biker that I met on the west, I'll probably never see the Opry. If I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bumped me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allen. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept 2. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hey, 3 knows me, and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you.
I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops.
Let me get that mic one time, I'll show you how a southern boy does it. And pour another round for my moonshine cousin. My toast to the west, courtesy of the south. Brought to you by Colt Ford, people all aboard. It's the midnight rider, call me baby Bo Sleepers. For truckers and 1%ers, I'm the southern representative. The midnight rider, a shotgun shooter. Real bad motherfucker, I'm the liquor store looter. Any way you want it, I can give it to you, baby. If you're working just right, maybe you can get the gravy. Damn, Katy Perry was right. This Cali girl need to come to the south and see that southern swirl. I'm a mud-digging, frog-gigging, blue-collar man. Love Waylon Jennings, Skinner, and Uncle Sam. What you see is what you get. That's all that I am. If you don't like that, I don't give a damn. Cause I'm a
whiskey-drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
That was Moonshine Bandits. That was Laurie's favorite song.
Welcome,
welcome back
music
to the show. And we appreciate John Dilley joining us from Def Con Sauces. And, boy, talk about variety, Laurie. We've gone from Austrian wine to Italian ceramics to Def Con Sauces. And yep,
he is a true Jersey boy, is he not?
Oh, he definitely is a true Jersey boy.
Right.
Unbelievable. They've done really well. Just, you know, word of mouth, and he's actually won all
that.
These awards. And
yep.
I've heard really good things about the product, too. I'm, like you said, I'm a baby in the hot sauce world, but
yep,
here's
me too.
The stuff. So, let's see here. What do we got? We got 3 minutes probably before our next guest joins us. And you never did finish that story, or did you? Did you finish that story about
the vegetarians? No, it's funny.
Yeah, the vegetarians.
No,
why don't you finish
I wanted
that?
To actually... Yeah, I wanted to finish it because there's an interesting line here I definitely wanted to get in. But it says here, vegetarians were twice as likely to have allergies, a 50% increase in heart attacks, and a 50% increase in incidence of cancer.
See, do you understand why I eat bacon and steak and burgers and all the stuff that's supposed to be bad for? Do I have an allergy, Laurie?
No. Do I? No.
No.
No. No.
It is amazing because, you know, I've always said, you know, that I've noticed that people that are vegetarians, and hey, I know last week we ticked off the organic folks. Now we're going to tick off the vegetarians. Of course, I don't think they listen to our show anyway, but it's just I've noticed that people that are vegetarians.
And if they do, they're not anymore.
They don't. Yes, exactly. They don't look good. I mean, I hate to say it, but they look like, I don't know. They look like, you know, like a potato skin is what they look like, and it's just. So anyway, they're saying that people that are vegetarians in this Austrian study are not as healthy as meat eaters and anything else about the story that I'm kind of glossing over it, but anything more?
Well, it says vegetarians reported higher levels of impairment from disorders, chronic diseases, and they suffer significantly more often from anxiety and depression. It says our study has shown that the Austrian adults
You know why?
Why?
They're depressed because they can't eat meat.
I know. I was thinking that myself before you said it. Look how happy do we get when I say, you want some bacon and eggs? Like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just
all right.
Happy when we decide to start. It's like, woohoo, bacon.
Oh, we're going to get so much trouble with the vegetarian, organic.
We're just reading. This isn't our study.
It's a scientific study. We're not making this up.
Exactly.
Now,
I'm not making it up.
I'm sure there's another study that probably says the opposite because that's how our world works. And you get into a fight of who has the right study. But this study says that vegetarians are just sick people.
This one last line, it says 1 in 200 young Americans or 367,000 U.S. children are actually vegetarians.
That's not good. Based on this study, it's not.
Well, that may change if you're listening.
We're going to get some hate mail. Oh, well.
Here we are.
Wouldn't be anything new. Well, our next guest, I hope, shows up here. I know that Sunbless is trying to get him lined up, and I'm sure he'll call in here shortly. But his name is Scott Buchanan, and he's a country music singer who's fresh on the scene and got some really good music. And the song I want to play as we bring him on is one of his latest called Is It Too Late? And I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to go see if I can find out where he is, and hopefully by the time the song's over, we'll have Scott Buchanan. Everyone hang tight. It might be too late by then when I show up. But the song is called Is It Too Late? We'll be right back.
You call me selfish right before you slam the door. That ain't the first time I've heard those words before. Just like gold that I just threw away. You took my soul. That's the price I have to pay. So baby, tell me, is it too late to pack my truck, head down south, pick you up at your mama's house? Cause I know you don't wanna let go. I know I've got things to change. We had our problems, I take the blame. So girl, what do you say? Is it too late? Is it too late? Every passing mile, and looking back now, it makes sense you said goodbye. Girl, I swear that I'm a brand new man. Wait till I get there. I'm already making plans. So baby, tell me, is it too late to take that trip to the Florida Keys, ocean view, just you and me? Cause I know you always wanted to go. Day on the beach, whole days on end, tan bare feet, the hottest sand. Let's make our getaway. Is it too late? Late. mama's house. Girl, you know you don't want to let go.
Trying to find Scott, and I'm not getting Scott in trouble, but Scott, you're supposed to be on the radio, so if you don't show up, then I get to pick on you tough. So anyway,
yep.
Oh my gosh.
Throw you under the bus.
Let me go look. Actually, I just got another message. Let's still see. No. He's coming on. They're trying to find him. This is always the fun part about live radio. You never know what's going to happen, and God knows we never know what we're going to do. So,
no, we
Lori,
don't.
Do you have any
yeah,
news? I'm going to go look for something right now because we got to fill up some air now for the next 24 minutes.
Well, this is why you have me as your sidekick.
That's
see?
Right.
To rescue
there's other,
you.
There's other
no,
reasons,
I,
too, but yeah.
There's other reasons? Oh, good. Tell me later.
Yeah, do you want me to discuss those on the radio? I will. No.
I know you would know. Oh, my gosh. Talk about opposites attract. We are so opposite.
Ain't that the truth? Hey, I got something.
Oh, my gosh.
While we're wasting time here, let me go to this. I found this cool little interesting fact that I didn't know about. Let me crank up my computer here, if it'll let me
While you're doing that, I want to ask you a quick question, because this, to me, it's sort of like when they had that story, everybody needs to drink 8 glasses of water a day, and I always said, okay, I'm 115 pounds, why would I drink 8 glasses of water? And then say someone like you, who's 200 and something, you're going to drink the same amount of water. So I never understood that. It's kind of the same thing with this story I'm reading here. It says here that the risk of death was reduced by 36% with 5 to 7 portions of eating vegetables and fruit. Okay. Researchers analyzed that eating habits of more than 65,000 people, and they found that those who ate 7 or more portions of fresh fruits and vegetables a day had a 42% lower risk of death at any age than those who ate less than 1 portion a day. Can you? That's a lot.
Would you say 42? Wait a minute, 42% less chance of what?
And the ones who ate of vegetables a day had a 42% lower risk of death at any age than those who
death?
Ate less than one
death.
Portion a day. Death.
D-E-A-T-H.
Death.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, we're all going to die. I mean,
I know what I'm saying. Isn't that crazy? We're going to die. It's like at any age.
Well, 42% less. Hey, then give me seven servings of fruit
and
vegetables. And
you're never
going to
die.
And we're never going to die. I guess you have a 42% chance of living forever. Is that what that means?
That's what I think, but that's exactly what it says.
Oh, that's dumb. That's just, well, you know what?
We did
a vegetarian story that you're all going to get sick and die if you eat vegetables. And then now we got one that says if you eat a whole bunch of vegetables and fruit, you can have a better chance of living forever.
But that's a lot. Seven types of portions a day. That's a lot of fruits and vegetables. That's 7 a day.
I don't know. Really, because yesterday
I had
a banana, and I had potatoes,
and some strawberries.
Had some strawberries.
You had onions.
And lemons.
That's true. That's an exception. I'm not saying this is daily.
What's a serving like? I mean, I can eat a banana. That's got to be like 2 servings, right?
I don't know. It says we all know that eating fruits and vegetables is healthy, but the size of the effect is staggering. Yeah. Overall,
are peanuts a fruit or a vegetable?
Have a stronger. Excuse me? Go ahead.
Are peanuts a fruit or a vegetable? I guess they're, what are they? I guess they're, are they vegetables?
I don't know.
That's a good
peanut,
question.
That's a good question.
Somebody listening out there, is a peanut a fruit or a vegetable, or is it a nut? I guess it's a nut.
Of course it's a nut. It's a nut. It's not a fruit.
But a nut is
a
actually
vegetable.
A fruit. Yes, it is. A nut is a fruit on a tree, right?
You got me stumped. I don't know. Google it. I'm offline.
Okay. Well, I'll Google that in a second. So are you done with the 7 serving?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's other stuff to read about, but I just found it kind of funny.
Well, you can read
it
because we've got to wait 20 more minutes, so go ahead and read because I'm over here dying trying to find something to talk about.
Okay, it said that the researchers said their findings suggest that eating 7 or more portions of fruits and vegetables reduced the risk of death from heart disease by 31%, and the risk of death from cancer is by 25%. And it also says here... Vegetables have a larger effect than fruit, but fruit still makes a real difference. If you're happy to snack on carrots or other vegetables, then that's a great choice. But if you fancy something sweeter, like a banana, moi, like you, or any other fruit will also do you good. And, of course, canned or frozen fruit appear to boost death risk by 17% because it's too much sugar, I guess,
So I guess what we're saying is you eat meat, and 7 servings of fruits and vegetables, you have
you're never gonna,
much
never
more
die.
Healthy.
Just
okay,
never die.
There we go. You just never die.
You'll live
that's
forever.
Cool. All right, I'm going to start counting out 7 different fruits and vegetables every day because I want to live forever.
I want to live forever.
I'm actually punching in right now on the computer to see is a peanut a fruit or a vegetable?
Well,
I know it's
a nut, audience.
But
this is what these people are listening to.
it actually is. I know it's a nut, but actually peanuts are on they come underground. So that real boy. Here you go. Someone wrote. On Google it says is a peanut a fruit? Ask.com. Peanut is a fruit.
I don't believe
the
it.
And the fruit and cannot be separated. Seeds come from fruit and can be removed from the fruit. Like almond, cashews, etc. So there you go. You learn something every day on Great Enough to Use Radio.
Yeah, you were right.
All right. I got some cool facts here about. We were talking about wine at the beginning of the show, and the wine bar should be here for this. But I'm going to read this. I found this kind of interesting. That Thomas Jefferson's salary was $25,000 per year. Okay. Which was a pretty high sum back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say back in the day, that's a lot of money, yeah.
But he had, listen to this, he had expenses that were, in 1801, Jefferson spent $6,500 for provisions and groceries, which you do that per month, he was buying a lot of food. And then $2,700 for his servants, $500 for, who in the heck is Lewis's salary? Must have been some guy named Lewis that worked for him. And then, get this, he spent $3,000 a year in wine.
You gotta be kidding me. He was a wine
drinker.
That's what
it says here. Now, I don't know who came up with this, but that's what it says on this website. And let me speak about some facts about wine. I find this very interesting. One grape cluster equals one glass of wine. Did you know that?
No.
Yep.
How many do we grow to last us a year?
How many grapes are in a cluster? Do you know that?
No.
75 grapes are in one cluster. And 4 clusters, which this makes sense, equals one bottle of wine. There are 40 clusters on one vine.
Wow.
So how does that equate to bottles? One vine equals 10 bottles of wine. I never knew that.
10 bottles. That's really good.
Yep. So we could grow one vine and have enough wine to last us, what, about 3 days?
About 2?
1,200 clusters of grapes in a barrel. One barrel of wine equals 60 gallons. 60 gallons equals 25 cases of wine. It takes 30 vines to make one barrel of wine. 400 vines equals 1 acre. You can get 400 vines and 1 acre of land. Interesting.
Wow.
1 acre of land equals 5 tons of grapes.
How many? Just tell me by bottle. That's what I need to know.
Well, 1 acre will give you 332 cases of wine from 1 acre of land.
And that'll last us how long?
Quite a little while. And I just did the calculations for you. That's 3,984 bottles for 1 acre. Anyway,
nice.
Just some little facts that I'm sure people are just dying to know. I didn't know it. And now I also know
that's fruit.
Yeah, definitely. And now we know peanuts are fruit, so that's good to know. What else we got? Let's just see if our guest is here. No.
You're sleeping. Why would you be here?
Well, I guess we could play some of the music. Maybe we could wake him up with some
wake
of his music.
Wake
him up? Yeah. I'm going to take a break, and hopefully, let's see, Scott, if your friends are out there, somebody go wake him up. I'm going to play another one of his songs, and it's called Rednecks in the Sand. That's kind of appropriate for right now. I think it should be Rednecks in the Sandman because he's probably asleep, but the song is called Rednecks in the Sand, and we'll be back here in a couple minutes after the song.
Let's take a little trip down to the coast. We'll drive like hell through Alabama, smoking our smoke. Don't pack no bag, don't bring a phone. Yeah, all we need is some rocking shades and some money to blow. And I still don't take myself too serious. Love to roll with my button just soak up the sun. Watch the hotties rocking bodies with a drink in my hand. Yeah, that's the plan. Rednecks in the sand. Brand new tattoo. Don't hurt too much. Here comes Judd limping out and drinking his lunch. Ain't had no luck with a Southern Belle. All I've caught's a buzz, but it's fun as hell. And I still don't take myself too serious. Love to roll with my buds and just soak up the sun. Watch the hotties rocking bodies with a drink in my hand. Yeah, that's the plan. Rednecks in the sand. Well, it's about time to ease home, friend. Looks like I'm losing my promised hand. But I still don't take myself too serious. Love to roll with my buds and just soak up the sun. Watch the hotties rocking bodies with a drink in my hand. Yeah, that's the plan. And I still don't take myself too serious. Love to roll with my buds and just soak up the sun. Watch the hotties rocking bodies with a drink in my hand. Yeah, that's the plan. Rednecks in the sand. It sounds like a plan. Rednecks in the sand.
And that was Scott Buchanan, who was supposed to be our guest this morning and or this afternoon. I don't know where he was calling from, but he's still snoozing somewhere because he drank too much Rednecks in the Sand. And
I like his music.
Yeah, well, too bad he missed his shot on Green Ideas Radio. If you want to find out more about Scott Buchanan, go to his website, which I put here, and I don't really care if you buy his records or not. Anyway, I should say that's not
crazy.
Nice. Okay, well, let's see here. Let's talk about what's going on next week. Well, let me get this, and you got something else you want to talk about?
Something's going to get your blood going and
you know, but that's okay.
All right, well, hang on a second. I'm just going to go over next week's guests are supposed to be on the 12th. They've got Chef Elena Friedman. She's the chef at the Ferry Building Marketplace, San Francisco. This is one of those guests that Sunblessed has set up that I honestly don't know a whole lot about, but I guess we'll find out next week. And Ty Phoenix, who she actually was on our show. She did a Kickstarter deal and got money and made an album, and I think she's coming on to give us some of her new music. She'll be joining us again. And then, of course, my favorite, which I mentioned last week, April 19th, I got the Steve Armstrong and the 25 Cent Beer Band. They'll be joining us if they show up and don't drink the night before. And Big Earl will be joining us, too, with some new music and information going on with him. So you have another story that will make my blood boil?
Yeah, there you go. It's actually very difficult for me to read, but two animal welfare groups and dozens of lawmakers are urging the Obama administration to improve humane treatment of poultry at slaughterhouses, citing statistics show hundreds of thousands of chickens. It was very difficult for me to read. Being accidentally dropped alive into scalding tanks every year.
Oh, here we go.
What do you think? It's so difficult.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay. First of all, I was in the chicken business, for those that don't know, for many years back when I was in my 20s. And I used to do, I won't mention the company name, but I used to do tours through the plant and take people through. And I know all about chicken processing and the ins and outs of processing and what happens. And first of all, it's done as humanely as it can be done. You're taking literally, in this plant that I was at, we killed over 300,000 chickens a day. And for those of you who haven't had the pleasure.
Wait, 300,000 chickens a day?
A day, 300,000 chickens a day. And for those of you who have not had the pleasure of going on a chicken plant, and I won't give you all the gory details, but they do it as humanely as they can. They hang them upside down. They send them through the kill operation. They slit their little throats. They then run them through a hot scalding water. They take the feathers off. They cut off their little heads, and then they go through another equipment. It's called an eviscerating machine that actually takes them and guts them, and then they cut them up in little parts, and they put them in trays, and they send them to the supermarket, and we eat them. So I don't know how else to explain it. And there are some that probably during all those 300,000 chickens that we would do that may not make it through the process without a slip-up here or there. So what are these people trying to do? They're trying to convince the Obama administration to do what?
You know, I just, like, to regulate it more to make sure that it's done, you know, in a humane way. And I know, it's really,
We eat them, Laurie. We eat them. And they do the best they can in a humane way. Now we're gonna pick off the animal rights folks, but we've gotten organic last week, the vegetarians, and now we're gonna get the animal rights folks pissed off. But oh well, what can I say? It's I believe in what the USDA and FDA does and what these processors do, and I've been through the process and I've seen it, and it's done in a healthy way as best we can. And oh my God, the numbers of chickens that are killed on a daily basis to feed the masses that are out there in the Walmarts and the Whole Foods and you name it. Chickens are being killed. We consume them. And I don't know, what else do people want us to do? We going to sing lullabies to them before they go in? What?
No, but I mean, look, I know we eat them. It's like cows and everything else. I understand. But at the time, you just want to make sure that, you know, it's done so nobody suffers, that they don't suffer. It's just fun, you know. I don't know. It's tough to think about it.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess everybody's got to believe in something. It's just, yeah, I get it. You don't want to just, like, make it a slow, agonizing death, but there's you know, certain procedures they go through that makes it as best they can. And then they go into little packages, and we eat them. So what can I say? Yes, you made my blood boil. Thank you very much.
Well, at the end, it just says,
you shouldn't have live birds going into the scalder. You've got to have a really good system.
They're not live before they go into the scalder, and that's how they take the feathers off. Oh, my God. Oh, well, what can you say? I'm done. You got anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's is our time up? I have to find something else. For 5 minutes.
Well, this is an awful choice of music I'm getting ready to play here in a second, but I'll tell you in a second what I want to choose. We thank you, everybody, for joining us each and every Saturday. Thank you, Scott Buchanan, for showing up as our guest today. And if you guys would like to come on our show, give us a contact on Facebook, send us an email. Also, go back and listen to the shows with Chef Christo and Chef Brett McKee. And I forgot to mention, Jesse's coming back, too, Chef Jesse Jones.
Oh, great.
Yep, and everybody, they've got great shows. We're expanding the network and bringing on these chefs. And they know how to cook. You know, they're not like me. They know how to cook, and they do it very well. And each one has their own style, and they're all very good at what they do. And
mm-hmm.
I like the radio show. So anyway, check that out. And, you know, I forgot also to play the Big Green Egg advertisement. So I will play that, and then I'm going to close out the show. Speaking of chicken, I want to close out the show with Sarah Beth, who was one of our guests way back when. Sarah Beth was a great guest, and if you didn't get a chance to hear that, go back and listen to the replay. By the way, I'll say it again. Remember, you can always listen to the replays. The shows are always there. They go back 2.5 years, and all you got to do is hit the replay button. But anyway,
yep.
Sarah Beth's song, speaking of chickens, is called Kicking and Screaming, and we will see you guys next week.
Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg. the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Go to BigGreenEgg.com, find yourself a dealer at www.BigGreenEgg.com near you, and get yourself a Big Green Egg.